Welcome to Passion and Purpose with Pamela, celebrating all things woman. I'm Dr. Pamela Hardy Shepherd, here to ignite inspiration through conversations that spotlight women's power and their journeys. Let's share our light, our stories, and create a space of celebration for every woman. Here's to embracing our womanhood together.
Welcome to Passion and Purpose with Pamela. Today, we're joined by the remarkable Jacqueline Farrell, whose journey is a shining example of resilience, growth, and the pursuit of excellence. Born and raised in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Jacqueline was nurtured by a strong family of her single mother, grandparents, aunts, and uncles. After graduating from Strahan High School in 1980, she briefly studied pre-law at Bethune-Cookman College before discovering her true calling in administration and human resources. Her career began at Broward Sheriff's Office, where she developed HR, purchasing, and compliance expertise. While raising her daughter and earning her associate's degree, Jacqueline balanced work, family with grace and determination. Her professional journey eventually took her to California, where she embraced her new challenges in technology and nonprofit services, working for innovative companies like iOmega and serving as the budget analyst for vital causes like the Black Infant Health Program. Through her diverse career, Jacqueline had held pivotal roles at prestigious institutions such as the Scripps Research Institute, Georgia Tech, and Georgia State University, where she currently serves as a grants and contract officer. Along the way, she earned her bachelor's degree in marketing, solidifying her position as a field leader. Jacqueline Farrell's story is one of strength, adaptability, and deep-rooted passion for making a difference. Her commitment to service is vital, causing causes like the Black Infant Health Program is truly inspiring. We're thrilled to have her share her journey with us today. Please join me in welcoming Jacqueline Farrell to the podcast. Actually introduced you, and I was wondering if you could tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself, if you would.
Thank you, Pamela, for having me today. I was born and raised in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I lived there for about 34 years. I went to all of my education from first grade through graduation. After I graduated, my mom said, you have three things to do. You can get a job, you can go to college, or you can go to the military. And I was like, okay, yes, I think I'm going to go to college. So I enrolled in Bethune-Cookman College, and I went there for one semester. I studied pre-law, but I got homesick because I had never been away from home before. Wow. So I went back home. My mother was not too happy, but I decided to get a job. So that was option two. And I started working at the Broward Sheriff's Office, stayed there for about 16 and a half years. Then I moved to California, lived in California for about 18 years, moved to Georgia, lived there for 2 years, went back home because my mom got a little ill. So I came back to Georgia, where I currently am now. And we're happy here right now.
So I want to go back because you lived in Florida, worked there for, what'd you say, 18 years?
I worked in Florida for about 16 and a half years.
Okay, let's start there. And then when you worked in Florida, and then tell us how you transitioned to California, what made you go there? Because this is interesting. So if you could tell a little bit about what you did, how you did it, and all the things that went on in those 16 years.
Okay. So I started working, as I went back, I started working, applied and worked at the Broward Sheriff's Office. I began in HR and I worked there for about a year. And one of the other managers in purchasing saw me and said, hey, I'm in my department by myself. Can you come? Would you like to come and work with me and learn how to do purchasing? I said, sure. She said, okay, great. You have to work at least 1 year before you can transfer. So I finished my year in HR and then I requested a transfer to purchasing. I got the purchasing job and she taught me how to do purchasing, budgets, bidding, how to bid for food. We did bids for food for the jail facilities. We had three jail facilities at the time. So she showed me how to write bids and how to calculate them when they come back, and then, of course, award them. So that kind of started my area into the budgeting and finance, purchasing, administration part of it. So I worked in purchasing for about 13 and a half years. And then I moved to what was then called Internal Affairs. It's now called Professional Compliance Department. I worked there for about a year and a half. And then I got married and moved to California. So we were in California, in North California, at the base of Camp Pendleton, behind the base of Camp Pendleton. And afterwards, I moved, my position was actually in the city of San Diego. So I moved down closer to Mira Mesa area in San Diego and worked at a company called iOmega. And I worked in the purchasing department there. So I did purchasing. They were coming out with this new drive called the Zip Drive. So it was for those who are in my generation, the Zip Drive was the first electronic drive to hold all of your computer data, saving all of your computer data. So this Zip Drive was larger than a floppy disk. So it held like megabytes, large megabytes of data. And so I worked there for about a year. And then I transferred to another company, and I worked there doing military contracts. And we did manuals. I helped read through the manual and help edit the manuals for the military, for the Navy. And I worked there for about a year. And then I transferred to the Scripps Research Institute. I'm sorry, but before that, I worked at Black Infant Health.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
And before that, thank you. Before that, I went to Black Infant Health, and that's where I met you, Pamela. And of course,
tell us a little bit, because I got a story and I want them to hear, but I'm going to tell my story first because I need people to hear this. Jackie interviewed for this position as a budget analyst, and we had interviewed a myriad of people. And when I saw Jackie, I said, and this is what I seen is probably what everybody, it is probably everybody else seen it. I said, and just go with me because I'm not trying to call you names or anything, but I knew she was a go-getter. I said, Jacqueline Farrell will be the best budget analyst because she is going to be like a little bulldog, which we needed, and would hold on to everything and navigate for us and be that person. Now, when I, because I was working for San Diego State University and the county of San Diego had the contract, they were like, are you sure this is the one? I said, this is the person I want because I know she's going to go after, because her interview, everyone, was just stupendous. It was so amazing. And that's why you cannot go on what people, they have all these degrees and all this stuff. And degrees, you know, I love degrees. They're important. But they're not the only thing. She had experience. And if you listen to what she said, this woman taught her how to do purchasing and budgeting and grant writing and all these things. Jackie did a myriad of things. And so adding her to the program was the best thing I had ever done. And I need you to know that it was the best thing because you opened up a world. You researched everything and you made our program better. And I needed the listeners to hear that because you just turned the page for us. And I am so grateful. So now you can tell your story.
Thank you for that, Pamela.
Ooh,
so yes, great. I met Pamela at the Black Infant Health, and that experience really turned my life around. I started working with all these people who actually were educated and we're working for a cause. And that made me so motivated that we were working for a cause. And I was always eager to go to work. And I had never been eager to go to work before, ever. And working this job, I was so eager to get up in the morning and drive the 50 minutes to get there because we were doing something for the community. And that became a passion for me, to do something to help do something for our community. And so I really had a good run there. I think it was about, was it maybe 2 years, almost 2 years, about a year and a half. I worked there. And then I transferred to the Scripps Research Institute. But I do owe Pamela everything that I am today because
No.
she taught me skills that I probably wouldn't have gotten if I hadn't worked there. How to, integrate with people, because even though I worked all those jobs, I didn't really integrate with people. It was, behind a desk and you just did the work. But here at Black Women Health, I really got to open up and go out and meet people and learn how grants work, really, really work. Funding is very hard and difficult to get, especially for smaller entities like the Black Infant Health. And Pamela really, really pushed and pushed and pushed. And I really didn't have a whole lot of confidence at the time, but you know what? I gained a lot of confidence from working there. So everything I have today and everything I know today, as far as my skill set level, I owe to Black Infant Health.
Wow, that's awesome, Jackie, because I look at it is that I think what Black Infant Health did was put faces to the numbers. In most jobs, and understanding grant writing and being a grant writer myself, you're looking at the numbers, but your task is to make people see what the numbers represent. And I think that's really what Black Infant Health did, because we were a whole collective, all 24 of us in San Diego County. We were a collective, and we knew we had to do what we were doing to change the community, to change infant mortality. And everybody was part and parcel of that. And I'm just grateful to you because you brought those skills with you already. I didn't do anything. You already had those skills because I've seen them. And I was like, oh no, we got to have her. And you have been a blessing. And I need to also say is, I said to you, if I'd come up with the idea, I say, Jackie, you know what? We want to send people to school. Can we make that happen? And Jackie did. I would just put things out there, and Jackie would say, okay, Pamela, Jackie would make it happen. She would make it happen. So, I mean, that's what I'm thrilled about. And I get excited about it because those were amazing times. We were on the cutting edge, and our program became, we got some award from the state of California because we were on the cutting edge and we did some cutting edge things as a team collectively. So I can't take all of the credence. What I want to say is if you're a visionary, then you get somebody who gets down in the details. Jackie got down in the details and she would move things around, look at them, and say, no, you can't do this. And whatever she said, I adhere to. So I need to say that.
But we did have a good run. We made so many things change in the community, and we, taught a lot of people a lot of things, all those trainings. It was just, it was a cutting edge at the time. It was cutting edge training, it was cutting edge learning, all of the professional development classes you brought in on site. It was just like, wow, this is the company that I wanted to work. I wanted to work for a company like that because we didn't have that. And it was so refreshing. And I enjoyed every minute of that. And from there, it just like started the boom of, okay, well, if you're gonna do this, you probably need to put a little more education into, your background so people will take you seriously. So I did start the University of Phoenix on site when I was in San Diego. I went there for the first few months, and then after that, I moved to Georgia. And then at the time, I didn't really know about their online program, so I didn't think about going to school online, you know, to continue. So I just, you know, that kind of went to the wayside because I thought, well, I can't do it online. And I'm here now and I've got to learn, you know, the geographics of Georgia. I'll just come and do my grant job here and until I find myself. And I worked at Georgia Tech for about 2 years, from 2015 to 2017. I worked there, of course. And then it was really nice working there, but it wasn't what I had at Black Infant Health, how open and you know, collectively it was just, you know, it was very serious. A very serious job. And I was thinking, man, I miss, you know, all that fun we used to have working, but still having fun. But I enjoyed my time there. I really did.
Now, what did you do at Georgia Tech specifically?
I was a grants and con I actually had a split job because the person that I was working with, she was going to retire. So they wanted to train me for her job. And because I had grant experience, and it was a funny story. Because when I went to the interview, I was moving from California to Georgia. And I got there by way of my best friend buying a house in Georgia. And she said, well, we won't be there for a couple of months. Do you mind? Would you like to house sit for us? And I said, sure, we'll house sit. And so that's how I ended up moving from California to Georgia. We were on route to move to Florida, but she called about the house sitting. And I said, sure, I'll house sit for a couple months for you. And while I'm out there, I'll look for a job. Well, my boss at Scripps Research Institute said, hey, you know, one of the professors that we just worked with works at Georgia Tech. Why don't I give him a call? And I said, well, no, don't do that because, you know, I'm going to be on the west side of Georgia and I don't know where Georgia Tech is. And, you know, and she said, yeah, don't worry about it. And I said, okay. So she had emailed him and said, Jackie's coming to Georgia. Do you have any job openings? And so he said, sure, have her look on our website and apply. We have a job coming up as a grants person. Our grants person is retiring and she'd be perfect for that. And I said, oh, okay. I came into work the next day and she said, okay. So I spoke to him and he's, you know, they have a job opening. So you need to apply for it. And I said, well, wait, I haven't moved yet. I mean, she said, just go on and apply for it. So I did apply for that job. And of course, I ended up getting it. But the backstory is his admin assistant and myself, we both worked on T32 grants, which were training grants. So we worked at Scripps Research for about 7 years together. And so he was familiar with my work because his admin, you know, and I worked together. And so that was that relationship, you know. So that brought me to Georgia Tech. And that's how I ended up
Relationships.
being employed there.
So I want you to hear this because this is powerful. You said relationships. Well, based on also your work ethic, we can't forget that. You can have relationships all you want, but you have an outstanding, a stellar work ethic. So the relationships and people would step up. I mean, that's like favor. That is favor. Oh my goodness. Go ahead. Go ahead. Oh my God.
So, yes, so I worked there for about 2 years and then left and went back to Florida. When I went back to Florida, things got a little challenging because at that time in 2017, everything was about education. Everything was about education. And so it was very hard for me to get back into the grant scene, even though I had done it for, ooh, wow, about 15 years at that point, possibly. But it was very, you know, they were all saying, well, you don't have a bachelor's degree. You don't have a bachelor's degree. So every door I knocked on was, you don't have a bachelor's degree. You have wonderful experience. I got called into so many interviews, but it was in the end, you don't have a bachelor's degree. The other candidates did. So we hired that person. So I thought, all right. It's time. It is time. If you really want to step up your game, you've got to get this bachelor's degree. So I called the recruiter at University of Phoenix, and they said, "Yeah, we have an online program. You can join right now." And so I was like, "Okay, this is great. Okay, this is some motivation. This is something I need to do, because if I don't do it now, I probably won't do it." And so I started taking the classes online, and at first I thought, I had take I, when I got my associate's degree, which was back in 1990, I had taken the last year of it online because they had created an online session at that time. So I joined the online because I had my daughter, so I couldn't go back, in person. So I started taking the last year online, and it was like, okay, so I'm familiar with this online situation, so I think I'm going to be able to work through this. And I did in the beginning. I thought, man, this is a lot of work, because
It is.
you're writing so much every week. And I thought, this is challenging. And there are times that I wanted to quit. There are times I called the counselor, I can't handle it, I don't. And he talked me through it and said, you know what? Just keep the communication with your professor in check, and you will make it through this class. So,
Can I stop that? Because I want people to hear that there are times you're going to want to quit. And the work is more because that's all they have from you is what you write. You're not in the classroom. But I like the fact that you said there were times I wanted to quit, and the professor or the counselor would talk to you and tell you to communicate. And that is big because you're going to get some obstacles. It isn't going to be just so easy. And I want people to hear that because when you're older and you're going back to school, there's stuff that was never in the educational system before. So go ahead, Jackie.
Yes,
Wow.
so he and every class he would talk me through, you're gonna how are you he would call me, how are you doing in this class, what's next, what's on the agenda, how's your writing, because it was a very long time before I wrote, since I had written anything, any papers. And I thought, wow, I haven't written a paper since like 1990. And so he gave me the website, and he said, look, there we have a whole tutorial that'll show you how to do everything. And I have to give it to University of Phoenix. It's a class act.
It is.
Class act. Everything you want to know is on that website. They have a tutorial for everything. They have an answer for everything. And I thought, okay, since I found that site, this is going to be easier. And so each class I went through my first semester, I was so shocked. I made the dean's list. I didn't even know it. I didn't even know it. I got this letter in the mail, and I thought, oh God, they're sending me a letter. I must have done something wrong. And when I opened the letter, it was like, congratulations, you made the dean's list. I'm like,
Not
oh, the dean's
surprised.
list. Okay.
Not surprised.
And so, each semester got better and better and easier, but I always communicated with the professor in all of my classes. I made sure they knew who I was. I could, every week, how am I doing? Is there something you can give me feedback on? My writing? I was really concerned about my writing again because I had not written anything since
Not that kind of
1980.
writing. Not that kind of writing.
Not
It's
that kind.
totally different from grant writing. Writing
Exactly.
paper is different from grant writing people, just in case, because you'll say, well, she wrote grants. Not the same. Not the same. Go ahead, Jackie.
Right, it's not the same. So I really, really give it to the counselor, because if he hadn't been there to help me through all of those classes, I probably would have quit. And in hindsight, I'm so glad that I didn't quit, because the feeling that I got when I moved through each class and it was like A, and I'm like, okay, if I can get A's, I can make it through this program. If I can get an A by writing these papers, and it's, they say as you get older, you have a lot more to tell.
Yes.
And I thought, wow, some of these things that I'm writing, I've experienced some of this stuff. So the writing became easier and easier. So I thought, I'm going to make it through this program. But yeah, so I started there. I finished in 23, 2023. Got
Congratulations.
my I got my diplomas in the mail. And I was so excited. I was so excited. And I called my friend who lives up here. She worked at Georgia Tech with me. And she said, "Oh, I'm at Georgia State now." And I said, "Really?" I said, "Okay." She got a better job because she went back and got her master's and got a better job, a higher paying job. And I said, "Oh, okay. So do they have any jobs there? Do they have any jobs?" She said, "Yes, they do." She said, "As a matter of fact, one of my departments is looking for a grants person. Why don't you apply?" And I thought, it can't be this easy, you know? It can't be this easy. Okay, I'm gonna apply. So I went ahead and went online and applied. And I was at the time working for a company, KCI Technologies, as an administrative assistant at the front desk. Because even though I did have all these skills, I couldn't get a job paying what I wanted to make. So I took that job because you know what? It was a job.
That's right.
It was
That's right.
employment. And so I took that job, had that job for almost 2 years. And I thought, it's got to be better than this. It's got to be better. And you know, I would spend my lunch hours on that job writing my papers, you know, for school and doing all my, you know, doing all my check-ins for school. That's what I spent my lunch hours for. And I thought, if you can give this type of commitment to getting this degree, you can move out of this position and move into a better paying position, which I knew the grants position was going to pay, you know, quite well. And adding my degree on top of that was going to boost me up even more with all of my previous experience. So I'm fumbling through my email and I get this email. I'm like, oh, let me check my, because I rarely check my email. And I said, let me check my email. I checked my email and there's a letter from Georgia State University, an email saying, we'd like to interview you. We have 2 days. And actually, the second day was the day I checked my email. So I almost missed out on
Oh,
this
my
interview
goodness.
because I hadn't been checking my email. So now I check my email every day, like two, three times a day, because I don't want to miss anything. And I almost checked that email. So I emailed back really quickly and said, yes, I would like to interview for this position. And so they emailed me right back. And said, great, can we do it at 1 o'clock? And I said, yes. So I'm like, okay, how am I going to get out of this? My lunch hour is at 12. I got to do this interview. I'm going to tell him I have a call to make. And so I asked one of the girls if she could sit at the front desk and monitor the phones for me while I go into this meeting. I said, I have a meeting. And so I went in the
And
conference
you
room.
did. You had a meeting.
I did. I went in the conference room, flipped open my computer, and took the interview. And it was about 30 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes. And I did that interview. And I immediately hopped into my email and said, thank you for the interview. You know, send a thank you for interviewing me because I almost missed it, you know, by one day. And they immediately sent me back an email saying, great. We were happy that you actually interviewed with us. We'll be contacting you in a few days. And I thought, that's got to be good, right? She said they're going to contact me. And so in a few days, they contacted me.
Wow.
And she said, I would like to speak with you because I would like to pay you a little more than what we're asking for in the opportunity. And I said, oh, okay. Okay. So she said, I'm going to call you at 7:30. She's part of the athletic committee. So she goes to the games with the girls' basketball, all of the girls' teams. She goes as the athletic faculty. So she said, I'm going out of town, going to the game, but I'm going to call you at 7:30. Can you meet? I'll call at 7:30. I said, yes, I can meet you on a call at 7:30. And so my daughter was taking my son, grandson, to get a haircut at the same time. And I said, okay, I'm going to stay in the car. I'm taking this call. And so I stayed in the car and I took the call. And she said, yeah, we'd like to pay you like $5,000 more than what it's actually asking for. And I thought, this is good. I like this school.
Now that's favor. That's God's favor. Oh my goodness. Go ahead, Jackie. This is exciting.
Yes. So I said, that would be great. That would be great. And we're going to give you, money so that to help you move. And I said, okay. And I'm just listening, like I'm in shock. But that was the best thing that happened to me. And I thought, you know what? Getting that degree, showing people that not only does she have experience, but
That's right.
she's ha held jobs consistently over her career, and that she was motivated enough to go back to school after all those years to get that degree. This is a person that we can depend on. And I wanted to, throughout my career, give that out to employers that I was a person that they could depend on. Because that was just the work ethic that my mother, who at one point held three jobs when I was young, my grandfather and my grandparents, they all had jobs up until they retired. And so that was all I knew was, to be dependent. So that worked out very well. And that brought me here to Georgia. And that's how I got to Georgia, back to Georgia.
Wow. I mean, that is such an incredible story, because the thing about your story is it's about your determination, your resilience, and life does not come without obstacles. It's like, how bad do you want it? And you were saying, I have to have this. I've got this over here, because usually you see people, they have some education, but they have no experience. So it's like you need both. And it will keep you from things. I mean, a degree is not the end all. It cracks the door open. You put your foot in the door and hold it open. And your story is so powerful because you never gave up, Jacqueline. You never gave up. It doesn't matter how much you want to quit and say, I don't want to do this. This is just difficult. But you said, no, I'm going to do it. And then even when you go back as far as, Broward County, the woman taking you under her wing and teaching you all these skills, everything is in preparation for you to be exactly where you are. There are no mistakes. And people, you got to hear this. There are no mistakes. It seems like this is a mistake, or how could this happen? The things that happened in your life, how did it formulate you into being so determined? How did that happen?
Because every time I wanted to do something, it was no, and you have these thoughts like, why are they telling me no? When I was working at the Broward Sheriff's Office in purchasing, I had worked there almost 13, a total of about 13 years in purchasing. It was just me and the director when purchasing started. When she hired me, it was just us. It was the two of us for 2 years before they gave her a budget to hire more employees. And as they hired the employees, I trained those employees. And so, I trained three of the employees that came underneath me. And so they said, we're expanding purchasing and finance departments. We're going to put my current director, we're going to put her as a mid-management in a mid-management position. And we want you to work under her in the purchasing manager's position. And so the other person, we took over the property division where we issue uniforms to the deputies and, everyone who wears uniforms. We're going to put her in the property division. And I said, okay, that works for me. That's fine. That would be a promotion. That's great. So I did that. She was actually pregnant at the time. So she was going out on maternity leave. But I had a good 6 months to work in this position, two of them with her and four of them without her. So for 4 months, I was on my own. And she said, Jackie, I know you can do this. We started this together. you know, I have your back. If you need anything, you know how to call me. I said, Donna, no, I got this. I've got this. You taught me everything I need to know. I've got this. And so for 4 months, flawless, for 6 months, but the last four without her, everything went flawlessly. You know, the employees, because I trained them, they knew what to do. And so we did this. And the person who they put in the property management position, she had an associate's degree at the time. And I also had my associate's degree at the time. And so when the 6 months were over, they said, oh, well, we're going to give her, let her go ahead and, you know, take management of the property division. And I thought, great, because it was designed for the both of us to have those positions.
Okay.
They weren't going outside to interview. They, you know, they were going to interview because legally you have to interview, but we were positioned in those positions for, to take over. And so they did the interviews, they interviewed me, and then they brought a new finance director in and she interviewed me. And I said, well, do you have any questions for me? No, no, you were great. No, you know. And so when I got an email announcement, it's like, they're hiring who for this position? They hired someone else. And I walked over next door to finance to the new director. And I said to her, I'm sorry, can you tell me why I didn't make the cut to receive the position that I held for the last 6 months? She said, because you don't have a bachelor's degree. And that candidate did. And I said, I'm sorry, tell me that again. I have an associate's degree. And what was required at the time was an associate with the experience. And I had the experience and I had the associate's degree. Yes, but this person has a bachelor's degree. And I said, oh, okay, thank you. And so what happened, that person was freshly out of college.
Oh, my goodness.
With a bachelor's degree. Worked in purchasing, I think, in Miami for about 2 months, applied for this position and got it. And she came in to be my supervisor. Well, I had to train her. And that didn't go over quite well.
No, that wouldn't have went over well with me either.
So I thought, so this is how it works. Okay. So I thought, you know what? I can't stay in this department because this is not going to work for me. I don't want to consistently teach someone the job that I should have.
Exactly.
And so I applied for internal affairs, it was called at the time. So I applied for internal affairs department, and the deputy up there, the director, he knew of me because we would see each other in the hallway all the time. And he was like, yeah, I know how you work. I want you. Yes, you're hired. So I did have to go through the interviewing process like everyone else. And I got that position. And he said, ah, we finally got you. We finally got you. Because they had been trying to get me up there. You know, and my thought was, I don't work in internal affairs. You know, all these deputies are going to look at me like, oh, we can't talk to her. You know, she works in internal affairs. But it was a good experience. I learned a lot there. It was very good. I was on the helping with the committee when the deputies, you know, they have a complaint against them. They have to go up to this committee. And I was part of that committee with them. I did all the administrative work, setting up the interviews, setting up, you know, the committee when they came in to have their like court time so that they could have their hearing. And so that was really good. It was really good. It was doing something different, still administrative, but doing something different. So more skills under my belt.
Exactly. Because I was going to say that I wanted to go back to that last position. And what would you say to somebody if, you know, based on your experience with, you know, somebody hiring someone directly out of college because they have a bachelor's degree, and you were already doing the position in a manner, in a stellar manner and having the experience, what would you say to somebody that may be in this situation right now or have experienced it or will experience it? What would you say to them to motivate them or to help them? Because you came out of it very well. What would you say?
One thing I would do is I would always have my resume updated because you never know when an opportunity is going to show up or come to you. Another thing is I had to be very compassionate about what I was doing because the inner me wanted to just walk out the door and quit. But the outside of me was saying, no, you're not going to quit. You're not going to give them that opportunity because that's an opportunity for you to show how strong you are. So you got, you know, you went in and got that degree. You're going to stay here. You're going to use your purpose. You're online getting, I was at the time getting my degree. I hadn't gotten it, but you know, I was almost finished enrolling to get my degree at University of Phoenix, enrolling. And then I said, no, you can't let them do that. You have to have courage and strength, and you have to show face, good face, every single day and let them know, you know, you can't break me, as she said in 16 Candles. I'm not going to let them think they break, you know, they can't break you. You can't let them break you. You have to, even though you're in that situation, and if you want to move, move. Because you know what? You do it quietly. You move. You look for opportunities. You don't let them know you're looking for opportunities, but you look for those opportunities. Because there are a lot of places that I realize will take an experienced person with less education than they will a fresh person with education. Because I recently read an article of how much money companies lose when they don't want to give a seasoned person a raise versus hiring a new person. It was almost doubled of what they would spend if they would just give the current person the $5,000 raise. Wow. They're going to end up spending $10,000 more now educating the fresh person out of college because there's no experience behind it. So keep everything you want, keep your dreams ahead of you. Keep safe face and keep your face and smile every day and come in. And, you know, it was like, yes, I'm going to teach her, but you know what? I'm getting more out of this than she will ever know. And I did. I got more out of that experience because you know what? It gave me courage and it gave me strength. And I probably wouldn't have had that strength if I wasn't forced to do that. I probably would have never looked forward to another opportunity and move into internal affairs if I didn't have to do that. I was forced to do that, and it gave me strength.
That is powerful. It gave you strength. And you made me think of something that happened to me. And I was living in Scotland, and I wanted to apply for the Navy Alcohol Safety Program. You have to have a master's degree. And I can remember I said, well, I don't have a master's degree. Matter of fact, I don't have any degree. But I went through some things in my first marriage with people doing drugs. And I know what that's like. And I went on the interview and I remember someone telling me, you have to have a master's degree. And I remember saying to myself, well, I can tell myself no. Let somebody else tell me no. I'm going to say yes. Lo and behold, I went for the interview and ended up getting the job. No degree, no, absolute nothing. And many times, as you said, it is to set you up. And many times we tell ourselves no. No, you tell me no. I'm okay. You can tell me no all day, but I'm not going to tell me no because maybe God's got something for me. And lo and behold, I ended up having the job. Everybody else had a master's degree. They had book knowledge. They all didn't have experiential knowledge of what this does to someone. So I was teaching Marines and Navy personnel who had alcohol issues. And it was one of the best experiences I ever had. Would I do it today? No, but it was one of the best experiences because everything is foundational. It is guiding you. And if anybody's listening to your story, they're looking at from whence you've come and your foundation. It just kept building and building and building. And you kept getting all of these different opportunities and skills. And that's how life is. It is exactly how it is. But I don't want to forget something because, not only did you have all these skills, you were a buyer. And the other thing is, I also know is that you're ready to start your own podcast. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. Well, one of my passions has always been because of the experiences that I had gone through. One of the things that I wanted to do was I wanted to take my passion and my experience and gear it toward young women. I want to help young Black women and white women, but especially delve in on the Black community and help young Black women teach them the skills of how they could do what I did. You can make it without a degree. I'm not saying don't go get your degree because I think it's an enhancement
Yes.
to what you want to do in life. But there's a toughness that has to be had when you have to dig in and pull yourself out of the trenches. And I want to teach them how to do that. I do. I really want to delve in on young women and help them. There's STEM. To help women, STEM, everybody's going into STEM, and that's great because you do need the science, the technology, you do need that STEM, those STEM programs. And someone that I'm working with is doing that for the Black girl is Black girls, a STEM program. And I think that's very good. And I'm actually volunteering with her program to help those girls. Because I think as young women, we need to know. I didn't have all of that teaching and learning when I was growing up because my mother was always working. And
Yes.
so I want them to have those skills while they're growing up so that when they sprout out to do whatever it is they want to do in life in the future, they will always have in the back of their head that they know that they can do it. So I do want to do that.
Now, when you say young women, can you kind of give us the age range that you're thinking about?
I think when we start to look at young girls, I always think 8 years old, but and I don't think 8 years old is too early to start
It's
learning
not.
anything, especially about education or skills. One of the businesses that I wanted to have part of my business is to bring in girls and teach them administrative skills, because I think even if you have learning how to type, learning how to typing, I think was one of the best skills that I ever had. And I took 4 years of it in high school. And, I was forced to take typing, Pamela, because I didn't want to take sewing, because everyone in my family knows how to sew. And I don't. I had no interest in sewing. So she said, you're going to either take a cooking class, a sewing class. I said, well, what about typing? She said, typing. And I said, yes, typing. So I took typing in high school.
Wow.
And that's what I did for 4 years. And, to this day, I thank
Served you.
God for my mother forcing me to take typing because I didn't want to go into cooking. I didn't want to go into sewing. So it was like, she's like, you're going to take a home ec class. You are going to take a home ec class. And so I took typing. That was my home economics class, typing, So those skills, I mean, I think when you learn how to type, that is one of the best skills you can have because you can become a court reporter. I mean, and
That's
they make
right.
so much money, but typing, if you know how to type, you can get into the door. And
That's
so I
right.
do want to have those administrative skills put out there for young women. And it doesn't matter if it may be a little early, but still, I through high school, I would like to teach that age range through high school. Because when I was working at the Broward Sheriff's Office, they had a program that you could go and volunteer to help kids in high school and middle school. And I volunteered, I helped, you would go and you would help I had a high school student, and usually these students are, they were A students, but somehow they got off track. You know, you make friends and you kind of let your schoolwork go to the side. And my student was a straight A student, and she just stopped because there were family issues at home. And so, and I thought, well, I want her, because you can't let those things deter you from what you want to do. And I, you know, had this whole little layout of planning of what I wanted, questions I wanted to ask her, and what does she want to do in life? And she said, I want to be a chef. I said, oh, okay. So we're gonna work so that you get your grades back up so that you can go and you can enter school to go and be a chef. And she was really excited about that, because no one had ever talked to her and asked her, what do you want to do? You know, she's in high school. People should be asking you, what do you want to do? And when I was in high school, they didn't ask me what I wanted to do. You know, they didn't ask a whole lot of Black women what they wanted to do.
No, not at all.
And so I want to put that out there, because we do need to ask them, what do you want to do? So that they can know what they want to do, start planning, because that is the biggest failure when you don't plan.
Exactly. And I love what you're saying, because we can learn a lot of the skills that they may teach us in school, but they don't teach us how to handle your business, how to have administrative skills, how to be an entrepreneur, how to do all these things. And exposure is so important. And if young women have those skills and have the exposure, they become second nature to them. You know, you need to know how to greet people and speak on the phone, and how you're, and most people don't even consider that growing up, when in the era that we grew up in, we had to, you know, speak on the phone. We had to think about our voice intonation and our cadence and how we come across on the phone. Those things are not taught. And if they are, I haven't heard of them lately. So correct me, I stand corrected. But it's great that we have all this technology and everything, but there's some everyday things. And my mother used to say this. She used to say, yes, you can be the smartest nurse, but your bedside manner matters. And what she's saying is, you can have great grades, but if you don't know how to talk and listen to patients, it doesn't mean a thing. Bedside manner. So your manner, your behavior, and how you listen to people and go back and forth does make a difference. And I know we are like ending our time, but if there's any key takeaways that you want to provide for this listening audience or viewing audience, please tell them now, and how they can get a hold of you, because we'll put everything in the notes. So if you can share some of that.
First, I would like to say, develop a goal poster. You need a goal poster. You need to put on that thing, everything about your home life, how you want, what you want in your home life, your personal life, your professional life, your education, for your children, for your grandchildren, everything you want, put it on that poster so that you can look at it every single day. I've made mine, and you know, I've made several over the years, but since I got my degree, I've gotten more stern at looking at it. And one thing that I have on my poster is what one of a dear friend wrote, and she said, I can't remember it now, but I have it posted all over my house. But you have to invest time in what you want to do. You have to invest the time. You have to learn. One thing I did do when I was at all those jobs was I asked the person next to me, show me how to do your job. Show me how to do that. Show me how to do that. Because when I had that experience at the sheriff's office of not getting the job, and I had to show someone my job, every job I took from there, I asked the person, show me how to do your job. Show me how to do that skill. And I learned so much from people. And when I got to Georgia Tech, they were like, "How did you learn how to do all of this?" I asked. And see, we don't ask. Ask. Ask everyone around you. Ask. Some people won't show you how to do things, but that's okay. Go Google it because we have Google.
Go Google it and find out what they're doing. I love that. Because
But
some people won't. They don't because they're concerned that you're going to take their job, but people know there's enough for everybody. There's enough for everybody. Keep going. What else? What else? So you got the goal. You said the goal chart.
goal poster, stay
Goal
determined.
poster.
Goal
Okay.
poster, stay determined. Don't let anything deter you from your dream. Be determined. Pull out that inner self, that inner person in you, and don't ever take no for an answer. No
How
means
do we not
next.
do that? I know we're supposed to be in it, but how do we not take no for an answer? Just a brief. How do we not do that?
If someone tells you you can't do something, you look at yourself, go look at yourself in the mirror, because I do that daily. I look at myself in the mirror and I say, "You got this. You've got this. You can do that." Who says you can't do it? Who? Who's behind you telling you you can't do it? It's your brain, because you're allowing it in. Don't ever accept the no. It's always a yes. Even if you can't do it, it's still a yes. It's a yes. Because if you keep telling yourself yes consistently, you're gonna think yes consistently. So never accept
Excellent.
no.
Excellent.
Always involve your family in your dreams, in your desires, what you want out of life. You let your family know. Some of them, they may say, "Okay, yeah, you can't do that," but you again, you're not accepting no. You're not accepting no, but involve your family because they will be your best supporters. My grandkids support me. They're like, "Grandma, did you do this today? Did you do that today?" Even when I was going through school, they were like, "Grandma, what grade did you get on your paper?" They were right there online with me, but they were my biggest supporters. But you need support. Get a team of support, because they're going to be your best allies. And the best thing I can say for everyone else is, you know what? Find a person like I did. I found Pamela, and Pamela has been a resource to me. I will tell you, there are days when I called this woman and said, "Pamela, I can't." And she always rerouted me. "Jackie, you worked for me. Yes, you can." You have to find a support person who can mentor you. Find a mentor that you can call, like I call Pamela, and sometimes I call her too much, but you can
Never.
find a mentor, because that person is going to be the person that you see when that person tells you no. You're going to think about what that mentor said to you, because a mentor will never say no, will never
No,
say no. Even
no.
if they're thinking it, they'll never say no. Because it's always a positive feedback that you can have from that person. And you need positivity every single day, because we're in a struggle. We're in a struggle right now, a struggle of survival. And you need positivity in your life every single day. Find someone who can mentor you and keep you going. Don't ever stop.
Wow, there's nothing else to say. I mean, I'm just like blown away. All I can say to you is I wish you all the success because we already know how it's going to end because you are so fabulous, Jacqueline. I call you Jackie, but I'm trying to stay professional, but Jackie always has my heart. I just need to say, I am so proud of you and all the things that you have accomplished in life. And no is never a word that you have ever accepted. You are one of the best go-getters. And I wish you success in every endeavor that you lay your hand to. So we just thank you for coming on today. And again, everything for Jacqueline will be in the notes, and we just thank you, and I love you from the bottom of my heart. You're awesome.
Thank you for having me again. Thank you. I appreciate it. I love you. Thank you all.
You are so welcome. Well, thank you, everyone. See you soon.
Thank you all for joining us today on Passion and Purpose. It's been wonderful to connect with you, and I hope you found our conversation as enlightening and inspiring as I have. A huge thanks to our guests who contributed to the discussion and share their experiences and insights. Your stories are the heartbeat of this podcast, and it's a joy to explore our passions and purpose together. I'm Pamela, reminding you to live with passion and purpose. Until next time, take care and keep reaching for your dreams.